This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story. This hour, we are talking about telecommunication scams. We addressed this earlier during Market Wrap. And just to recap, yesterday, the Bukit Aman Commercial Crimes Investigation Department Director Commissioner, Dato' Sri Mohamad Zakaria Ahmad, revealed that on average, 2 billion ringgit is lost every year because of scams and commercial crimes.
Yeah, so you've probably experienced this yourself. You get a random call from someone claiming to be from MACC or a bank or something, or maybe you get like a dodgy text message with a link to I don't know what. So ultimately what they want is your bank or card details. And I mean, for me, I always wonder, where did they get my number from? Because I know that only certain companies or services have my number. And I always wonder, how does it end up in the hands of these third parties? And yeah, it's just so frustrating when you're always interrupted by these random calls.
But the amount of people who actually get scammed by them, where the scammers are successful, well, it's underreported for a start. But in the US, for instance, it's reckoned that 143 million consumers have been scammed. So that we're talking about nearly over a third of the population. So it's the numbers, we just don't really know. But the methods, though, we know some of the methods and some of the psychological techniques, which we can talk about today. But also our listeners will be, I'm sure, at least 30-40% of them have experienced them, and they will be able to tell us the things to look out for.
We want to know how you deal with scam calls. You can let us know at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. One solid advice I was given, and this is from my peers who are around my age, younger folks, just don't answer your phone. Who calls nowadays?
Yes, that's true. That is true. Yeah, and I think older people are hurt more. But do you know who the first con man was? He was in New York in the 1840s. I've forgotten his name. And he would walk up to people and he'd say, "Do you have confidence in me?" And he was well-dressed. He spoke well. And he looked like a peer group.
Are you talking about Ted Bundy?
No. Okay. No. Ted Bundy was a mass murderer from the 1970s. And but this man, he wanted people to just simply give their money to him or their watches. He wasn't terribly successful, but then the phrase was coined afterwards, a confidence man. So it's people who can enter your life and use different techniques to persuade you that they can be trusted.
Right.
Now, it might be that they associate themselves with a name that you do trust, be it, you know, Microsoft or Apple, affect that, then they will put you under pressure for time. You have to make a decision quickly. They will give you an opportunity that that they tell you that other people have taken, and then you will be persuaded by that as well. Well, if other people have done it, then I'll do it. And for, say, Ponzi schemes where it does involve some kind of face-to-face interaction, they will target specifically people who lead groups who are respected in a group. So church groups, for instance, are always targeted. Because if you can get the main church pastor or whatever, or the imam or the ustas or what have you, then everybody inside that almost sealed, hermetically sealed community is a potential victim. Because they say, well, if the person we respect the most has done it, then surely it's okay.
And online, one of the ways, I think one of the easiest ways to fool people is through phishing sites. So it's a website that looks like the website that you think you are on.
Yes.
So for example, you want to go on Facebook, but actually you don't notice that the URL says Facebook or something. So it's the same thing. So you key in your details when you log in and then you press enter. All of a sudden, someone else has all your details, including your password.
Well, but it's not always as simple as that, because you can't always just give them the information in one shot. They will take you in small steps, if they need to, toward the end game. And the steps can start off with as simple as, what's your favorite song? If they can engage you on that level, they can take you step by step on. It's like, oh, you like you like Barbra Streisand too, suddenly. And it's like, and then you can forge a relationship, and within the next five steps, then it's like, yes, I will now send you all of the contents of my bank account.
Similar tactics, it sounds like, to people who employ MLM. You can keep your thoughts coming, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be getting some information about how these scams work from Suaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers, BFM 89.9.
It is almost 6:15. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. We are talking about phone scams and calls today because the police had revealed that over $2 billion is lost every year because of these scams and also commercial crimes. So we wanted to find out why this happens and how do these operators work. So we're now going to cross over to Suaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership. Suaran, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you walk us through the process of how someone might receive a fraudulent call and tell us where these scam calls come from?
Right. So when it comes to scams and the scam callers, primarily there's a lot of psychology that takes place behind such calls taking place. The people who have designed this entire scamming business using the internet or making a phone call, they're familiar with the frailties of a human emotion. So they use all kinds of psychological abuse in terms of scaring someone, or lulling them into a sense of feeling comfortable, basically putting them off their guard, destabilizing their mental state, whereby they're then able to exploit the victim. So they would sort of run these scams where they would try to act as a policeman who's calling you to collect bail for a family member or a close friend or a colleague who's stuck in jail somewhere or in a court proceeding. Or it could be a wealthy Nigerian, we know the Nigerian trick, a wealthy Nigerian person who's looking to transfer some ill-gotten wealth or something that he's inherited to you when he needs to sort of collect certain deposit from you. It also could be in the majority of the love scams, someone, you know, who's trying to get your support or is sort of using your sense of insecurity to try to see what they can get the most out of you. Or it could be, you know, a family member or even a boss, a supervisor in a workplace who is stuck overseas and wanting to get some kind of financial transaction done because of the circumstances. So there could be all these different sort of methods used to make a scam call, but the underlying psychology and methodology remains the same, which is primarily to make you feel scared or comfortable or be in a position where you're nervous and therefore use that to try to, you know, push their luck and see what they can get from you. So that's how it is, that's sort of like the background or the psychology behind the scam call.
So how do they get these numbers in the first place?
Since majority of people, there's some kind of a digital footprint they leave behind one way or the other. And I think you really have to be in a society where no one uses a smartphone or a computer or any kind of a digital device where you'll be left alone. Otherwise, anyone nowadays wanting to do any kind of transaction will definitely part ways with an email, and there'll be a number linked to that email, whether it's on a social media or you'll share your number when you even sort of enter into a building and they ask for your numbers for point of verification purposes. Even going to a pharmacy and getting a prescription, you got to give your details, even your mobile number every now. So that your phone numbers and the emails are just floating around out there. And who is really keeping them secret, if at all? So it's not difficult to get these numbers. And for that matter, if someone is compiling these numbers and obtaining them illegally, that person is probably selling them off. And these numbers can be found on auction sites on the dark web, where you could get a lot of data by paying the money and getting it from those culprits who are just peddling these numbers. And also Malaysia has witnessed a huge telecommunications data breach in 2017. It continues till today, where back in 2 years back or a year and a half ago, almost 46 million mobile numbers were leaked out. And I mean, these 46 million numbers, they're from there, you can just imagine, as well as the MyCard numbers and also SIM card information flowing from that 46 million data breach. So these numbers are out there. I would think now it's more than 50 million or 60 million worth of numbers floating around in various data mining sites.
But there are apps and websites that allow you to check if an unknown number is fraudulent with lists of identified scammers. How much can we trust and rely on these services to act as precautionary measures in these instances?
I would say use these apps, if at all, with